Welcome to another Astros podcast.
And Valbuena drives it pretty deep to right center field. Martinez racing back, makes the catch a step shy of the warning track. Two runners will tag as Springer will score. Gonzalez goes to third, and it's 1-0 Astros. That's lined into right field. It's deep. Springer giving chase. It's over his head, and one hops off the wall. Seager will score. Lee, a big turn at first, will stop with a single, and it's a 1-1 game. Dae-Ho Lee picking up his 36th RBI. 1-0, and Springer drills it deep to left center field. Seth Smith looking up, and he'll watch that one go off the community leader's sign. George Springer puts the Astros up 2-1. Here comes pitch number 79. Swing and a miss. Struck him out on a breaking ball. That's 10 Ks for Lance McCullers. McCullers has now set down 14 in a row and ties a season high with those 10 strikeouts. We're through 5.5. Astros 2, Mariners 1.
So Cano on third, Cruz on second, Seager on first for the first baseman, Dae-Ho Lee. Both teams with a 43-39 record. Second place tie in the American League West behind the Rangers. There's a ground ball back to McCullers. He comes home, Castro to first base, double play. Just what the doctor ordered right there. He knew exactly what he was going to do with it, and it's a 1-2-3 double play, two outs. Boy, that is absolutely huge. Cruz goes to third, Seager to second base, and Adam Lind comes to the plate. Here's the 1-1, fastball, hit to left field. That's playable for Rasmus, makes the catch toward the line, and that'll do it. Base is loaded, nobody out. McCullers gets out of it, and the Astros going to the stretch, lead the Mariners 2-1.
Open stance for Cruz. The 1-0, that's lifted, right field, fairly deep. Springer is back against the wall. At the wall, makes the catch. Nelson Cruz missed a home run by an eyelash. And the Astros take game one from the Mariners, 2-1.
Longest 4 seconds of Will Harris's life. That ball going out to right field. You had that sinking feeling, but when Springer posted up, he knew it was going to be in his glove.
Pleased to be joined by Landry's player of the game, Will Harris, who picked up his 8th save in as many chances. Hey, Will, have you caught your breath after that last out there to Nelson Cruz, took Springer back to the wall?
I tell you, whenever he hit it, I wasn't that nervous. Off the bat, I didn't think that he quite barreled it. But once I turned around and saw where George was and he wasn't stopping, he kept going back on it, I got a little bit nervous. But this ballpark can play short down the line, so you try and keep the ball on the ground.
Hey, Will, sometimes you get to face the JV, and sometimes you get to face the teeth of the order. And today you face 2, 3, 4 very dangerous hitters right there, including Seth Smith, who started off the inning, who had hit home runs in 4 consecutive games. Did that go through your mind at all when you came through the bullpen door?
No, you know, I just look and see who's coming up. I don't really think about the order. I just kind of think about my game plan and how I'm going to approach the hitters. In division, we face these guys a lot, so mm-hmm. I try and mix it up. You know, pitched Cano a little bit different tonight than I have in the past. I think that had him kind of switched up a little bit. Backwards. So he was waiting on cutters in the whole at bat, and I kept the ball out away from him and then got him to fish on a breaking ball. So I'm just thinking about how I want to approach each hitter, and no matter who it is.
And the inning started off with Seth Smith with that 9-pitch at bat. You were throwing him a lot of curveballs. He kept fighting them off. Finally got a ground out. It really has to feel gratifying when you get an out in that situation when a guy makes you waste so many pitches.
Yeah, you know, Smitty's he's a really good contact hitter. He's a hard guy to strike out. You know, we go back to Rockies days, and he used to pinch hit off the bench for us back then. And he's a patient hitter, and when he's locked in, he's as good a left-handed hitter as we have in the division. So I was making good pitches to him. He just was able to fight them off. Once I spun a few breaking balls up there, I wanted to go up and in on him hard, and he fouled a couple off. He took one that was, just off, and then I was able to get underneath his hands with that last one.
All right, Will Harris, thanks for joining us. Hey, enjoy the rest of the 4th of July.
I appreciate it, guys. Same to you. Happy 4th.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
I got a lot smarter in May of 2001 when Jerry Hunsaker called Roy Oswalt up from Round Rock. After 8 games in relief, I realized we needed him more as a starter. On this day in 2001, he beat the D-backs at Enron Field. He got all the support he needed in the first inning when Jeff Bagwell drove Craig Biggio in with a single, and Lance Berkman followed with a home run. Oswald worked eight seemingly effortless innings, allowing only one run while fanning eight. At the time, he was 7-1 and had a 2.26 ERA. He would keep it up all year, almost. On September 28th, he pulled a hamstring and was lost for the season. We made the playoffs and had the home field, but we did not have Roy. Sometimes I wonder, what if?
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch, winning a close game yesterday against a division opponent, and a good way to start off this lengthy stretch you have here, 16 straight in the division.
Yeah, it was nice, and we needed everybody to contribute. We needed our bullpen to come in and be good. Lance McCullers was exceptional, and we got back on the winning ways against a division opponent. So it's a chance to win a series tonight has always started when you win the first game.
And Lance McCullers, 7 innings, striking out 10, giving up just the one run, was in trouble a few different times. It's not often you see runner at third, nobody out, and that run not score. Not often you see bases loaded, nobody out, and nobody scores. But Lance McCullers had different innings where both of those things happened.
Yeah, that's the bend but don't break theory, you know, where he was in trouble and really was bailed out in the first by an awkward base running play, right, you know, by Martin. And but when he has strikeout ability, you know, the leadoff triple and he strikes out Smith, strikes out Cano, obviously gets the double play in a weird fashion. But and then in the seventh, you know, as he's tiring, continued to throw curveball after curveball after curveball for strike, couple finished fastballs, and winds up getting him out of that getting through Lynn with the fly ball to left field. So I think his ability to work through damage really starts with having swing and miss stuff, but the execution has to be there.
Going through that seventh inning, as you mentioned, near the end of his outing at that point, loaded the bases with nobody out. Was it because of that strikeout ability that you felt maybe a little bit more comfortable leaving him in to try and work out of that?
Yeah, I didn't think he was losing his stuff. I think he got a little bit erratic and it cost him with a weird walk where he lost the strike zone. And,
yeah.
But he has the punch-out ability, and it's hard to take a guy out that has the ability to get himself out of those jams. He was only at 90-plus pitches. I did have Giles up in case something happened to where we needed him. But he had a great feel for his breaking ball yesterday, and I wasn't going to take that game away from him.
Meanwhile, Astros getting a couple of runs, one of those on the home run by George Springer, home runs in back-to-back ball games. And, you know, a lot of attention for Altuve, obviously, a lot of attention for Correa and a few other guys on the team. But, I mean, Springer has really been a big key for this ball club. He's played every game and has played very well.
Yeah, he's unheralded quite a bit. You know, I mean, obviously he's popular within Houston, and we appreciate what he does. But he doesn't get the fanfare that Altuve does or Correa does. But he gets on base, he does damage, he's electrifying in the outfield. You know, he's played every game, and it's tough to take him out of the lineup because just when you think he's tired, he goes out and has the leadoff double and then the big home run. So I love having him in there. He's our energy. He's a lot of our personality that goes on behind the scenes that people don't get to see. But when he puts together a game like that, he can carry us.
Will Harris got the save in the ninth inning, and it started off with that 9-pitch at bat with Seth Smith. And of course, as an at bat goes on, more and more pitches, it favors the hitter. But and I think it just kind of illustrated one of Will Harris's strength. He's just so tough minded, just keeps making quality pitch after quality pitch.
And he doesn't back down, and he has multiple ways to get guys out. He got guys out with fastballs yesterday. He got guys out with curveballs. He used the dimensions very well last night with the fly ball to right field at the top of the wall. But, you know, again, it's another inning pitch by Will where it's a big spot, no damage. You know, we walk off the field shaking hands, and he's a big reason why.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
Capuena in at third, the 1-1. Swing and a miss. Didn't make contact with that curveball, and it's 1-2.
Hey, Robert, want to get to one of our questions on Astros.com/radio. Real quick, the way McCullers is dealing right here. It says, happy red, white, and blue to you, Steve and Robert. This is from the Jacobsons and McCall on their pool side, by the way.
I'm jealous. The 1-2. That's down and in.
What is the Astros record on the 4th of July? It's been a family tradition to celebrate Independence Day in Bolden Creek in Austin at our grandparents' house. They're all originally from Houston. They have the game on TV muted, and they're blasting the radio all over the house and backyard by the pool.
2-2, chopper, right side, fielded by Gonzalez, takes it the first himself, and Martin is the second out. Well, thanks for the email, and the Astros all-time 27-31 on July 4th. And mentioned earlier, have lost nine straight games on this day.
Yeah, and they want to know, when was the last time the Astros won on the 4th? We have a friendly wager going on here.
Well, the last time was July 4th, 2006. Yep. Astros beat the Cubs 7-2 at Minute Maid.
And Jacobson's and McCall, there's no wagering in baseball. Also, they have one more comment. They've got some brisket, slow-cooked pork ribs, catfish, and Granny's fresh slaw. And a cooler of cold ones waiting for us. When can we get here? And, Robert, I've got my keys in my pocket. I'll see you tomorrow.
Seth Smith grounds the first pitch foul back to the screen. Smith has struck out both times.
You had me at Granny's fresh slaw.
I mean, Granny can make some slaw. There is no doubt about that.
Love me some Granny.
The Houston Astros.
Swing and a miss. Mike Fiers has done it. A no-hitter.
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered. Left field. See ya.
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL Wild Card game.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.